I just wanted to thank everybody for coming. I'm started a quest, and I just came from a farm, a soybean farm, in the coldest place. You have no idea how cold it is out there on a farm field. But there were five families that own this farm, and they work together, and that's how they make a living. And so maybe there was 15 people there. And then I walk into this room, and I'm speechless. There I did know every name. Here, not quite. I'll get around to it. Anyways, Dan, thank you for that great introduction. It's great to be here at Bounce. Conveniently located, I was told, right around the corner from the Missing Falls Brewery. Sometimes you need a little libation, and if the press here wants to pick up a case before you go home, you're welcome to do so. I will not tell the boss. Seriously, I'm just honored to have your endorsement. It really means a lot. We've gotten to know each other over the years. We've worked together, and I've worked with a lot of other mayors. And one sitting right there you are. Steve, okay, because you were sitting there before. Steve Benjamin is the mayor of a town in South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, and he's the co-chair of the Elect Bloomberg campaign. So if it doesn't work, blame him. That's exactly right. The mayor and I will stop by the brewery and commiserate with a few beers. Seriously, Dan is the real deal when it comes to mayors. It is so impressive what they've done in this building, but he's done a great job in this city. And he's driven by data, and he has ambitious plans for the city. And it was just amazing when he talked about what he was doing in terms of how many people and where they come from and what the businesses here are growing and what's going to happen tomorrow. And he delivers results, and that's exactly what we need. It focuses on everything from infrastructure to public safety to economic development. That is why he won re-election last year. I was told 70% of the vote?
Yes. More than half.
More than half. Oh. Now, I don't know what would have happened if he had run against hometown hero LeBron James, but always pick your competitor very carefully and your predecessor and your successor. And I met your predecessor. He's here someplace. And seems like a nice guy. We said hello. Where are you? That's a thank you for coming, all kidding aside. The Bounce Innovation Hub, I think, really is a great example of Mayor Horgan's leadership and vision and willingness to just keep going even when people say it's not going to work. Earlier tonight, I did get a chance to chat with some of the people, the business leaders who are from this community, and some of the people who are working and creating businesses in this community. And it's really amazing. 60 companies have developed here, and I'm glad to say one in every three of them is a minority or woman-owned business. So we're spreading the wealth around and giving everybody an opportunity, which is just what America needs. America needs more places like Bounce, and we tried to create some in New York, and some worked and some didn't, and I'm very proud of what we did in New York, but you can be a role model, and I'm going to start telling people they should come right here and look and see what Akron did, because lots of places in this country, they just throw up their hands and say there's no solution to the problems that we have of homelessness and guns in the street and this and that and the other thing and no jobs, and you've just said, I'm not going to pay any attention to that. I'm going to go do it. And so congratulations. Let me have one more round of applause for your mayor. Well deserved. This morning, I announced a new strategy for creating good jobs in Akron and around the country by creating what we call job factories. These factories aren't traditional factories that build something physical. They create investments and build on economic strengths in existing communities. And we're not trying to invent the wheel, but since this is Akron, I probably should clarify and say we're not trying to reinvent the tire either. My staff came up with that. I did not do that. Seriously, what we're trying to do is help communities across the country tap into the potential of the economic engines that already exist there. We have to do a lot, but something that plans 10 years down the road, At my age, you don't have a 10-year time frame. At my age, looking out there and seeing people that need help right now, you say we've got to do something, get it going tomorrow or today. And that's why we want to build on things that already exist, and that's the whole idea of here. We have traditional manufacturing or farming, industries that are already going, and we've got to make sure that they keep growing, but that they absorb more people and create more taxes and ideas for the rest of this country. You have a if you have a good hospital system or a good university, we can make it even stronger and make it bigger and treat more patients or educate more students and employ more people. And I think the best ways to help a city's economy improve, not 5 or 10 or 20 years down the road, but immediately, is to do exactly what we're doing, because creating good jobs isn't tearing everything down and starting over. It's figuring out what strengths communities have and building on them. And one of the things the mayor told me is the immigrant communities that have come here and been absorbed and added to the company. The farm I was at, they have immigrants coming from South Africa to work. And, you know, it's a seasonal business. In the winter, it's just you wait for the sun and you wait for the spring. But then when the farm gets going, they staff up and they create jobs. And it's what America was built on. It's the idea of America, that we can absorb people and all get more strength from bringing in new ideas and new ways of looking at things. Trump has talked about immigrants almost as criminals. We need more immigrants in this country, and this is as good an example as any. They're the ones that come up with the new ideas, the new technology. And they, you know, immigrants, it takes a lot to give up everything and go to the other side of the world where you don't speak the language and you don't know the food and you don't know how to behave and you don't know this, you don't know that. Those are the kind of people you want, because they have the courage and the willingness and the inquisitiveness to go out and start a new life. And it's what made America great, and it's what keeps America great. And we've just got to be so careful that we don't go in the other direction. And we need a new immigration policy in this country. We should be out there. You know, Akron is actually the perfect kind of size of city that and location that will benefit from more immigrants. Goodyear is headquartered here and conducts its R&D here. So they may not, I don't know how many tires they make anymore, but this is where they think the talent is and they think the opportunity is, and other companies should look at it. University of Akron's, Polymer Science and Engineering Program, everybody tells me it's one of the best in the world. Well, if it's here and they're located here, why shouldn't other people come here? And you've got to go out and advertise and talk it up, and I think you have a very good spokesman. There's still people who haven't found a spot here, but if this continues to grow, they will. We'll be able to find opportunities for them and for their families. Last week I was in New York. We had a bunch of people come in, and I was talking to this woman from Toledo. She is the mother of two kids, went back to school a few years ago after losing her job of 15 years at Chrysler. She spent her own money to get a master's degree. Sent out 75 applications to employers. Unfortunately, she's not got one call back. Now, I met the woman. I can tell you she is smart and personable, and she had a history at Chrysler of being stable, and it's just, and maybe you don't want to hire her, but to not give her an interview, there's something wrong. We've got to make sure if somebody like that gets the chance to present herself. If you happen to have a network, okay, but not everybody has a network. And I look at the kids today, when I looked for my first job, I must have written 100 applications and letters. Now, one of the problems is I can't spell. So you got to be very careful, and I'd go and I'd look up every word just to make sure that I hadn't made a grammatical or a spelling mistake. And eventually I did get a job, but it took a long time. Not everybody has the time to do that. And some of my friends got jobs right away because their parents were people I'd read about in the paper. They had all sorts of contacts. But in the end, it's when you get the job, then it's up to you. And it's up to you to create and to show people that you can work together collaboratively and cooperatively and build a business and build something for yourself and your family. And I think that Akron's a great place to do it, but there's opportunity in cities this size all across the country. President Trump talks about the best economy in American history. Well, it is true that the stock market is way up, much more than anybody would have predicted, and the unemployment rate is pretty low, lower than it's ever been before. But this woman that I'm talking about and millions other like her don't get the chance to participate, and we've got to find ways that people like that can also join the workforce. We just don't want to leave anybody back here. You know, look, I'm running first against other Democrats for the nomination and then hopefully against Donald Trump. He's a New Yorker. I've known him for not all that well, but we cut ribbons together. We took the subway together. So I know about him a lot. He's given a lot of promises. And one of the promises that he just keeps making promises and then he keeps breaking the promises. He's promised all these things. I just asked the people over in Lordstown, farmers who've lost billions of dollars because of his tariffs and trade wars. He's hoping that the economy will sweep him into a second term. Well, let me tell you, I'm not going to let him get away with that without calling him on it. And I know something about creating jobs. My company, which I started, the best day I had was the first day. I was the only employee. Day two, we were up to four. Today we have 20,000 people and business in 170 different cities and 70 countries or whatever. And it's still fun, but it's not as much fun as it was at the very beginning. But I know something about creating jobs, and I know something about making promises and delivering, and I know something about sharing and not just keeping it all for yourself. Some very wise person said there's no I in the word team. And unfortunately for Donald Trump, there's no T-E-A or M in the word team. He does have an I there. And you can't run a railroad that way. You've got to be able to include other people. I think our party needs a nominee who can fight on the economy, and that's exactly what I'll do. A lot of candidates stand up before you and say, I'm going to create great jobs. But for me, creating jobs is something that I've basically done all my adult life. And I think I can continue to do that. I think what we did in New York is very comparable to what is needed in other cities. The scale may be different, and the details of the problems are different. But we all want services. We have to make sure we're safe. We have to make sure we are employed. We have to make sure that we have good housing and infrastructure and good management and that everybody is taken care of. And that's something I've spent my career doing things rather than talking about them, and I just would love to have the opportunity to do that for the country. I have two daughters, age 39 and 37 as of yesterday, or 2 days ago, and two grandkids, ages 5 and 4. Grandkids are great because you can send them home. But I will say, now with my daughters, I change diapers all the time. Sorry, guys. I just, feeding was the thing I didn't want to do, as I remember. But my daughters, all kidding aside, turned out fine, and I've got a great family. And I want to make sure they have a future. And somebody said to me, well, who would you pick as a vice presidential candidate? And I said, well, I don't know, but the first criteria would be it has to be somebody that I think, if I wasn't there, my daughters would live in a country with good leadership. And I think people don't think of it that way. They use it as a political thing. But ability and management skills and desire and drive and honesty are the things that really matter. And we want dignity for all of our citizens, and I'm committed to do that. I'll give Senator Brown a lot of credit for talking about the dignity of work. It's something I've talked a lot about when I was mayor. I had 12 years in City Hall, and I will say that maybe out of all those 12 years, there were 5 days maybe when I wanted to walk out and slam my fist into a lamp post. But I loved every minute of it, And we made a big difference in New York, but we made the difference because I did what your mayor does. You pick good people and you empower them and you stand behind them and you let them do the work. And speaking of doing the work, the Moms Demand Action, I just wanted to say congratulations to all of them. I'm a big believer that we've just got to get guns out of the hands of criminals and people with psychiatric problems. And it's probably no reason to have AK-47s in people's hands. Just a thought, okay? Let me thank Akron for being hospitable tonight, our third event of the day. I'm not looking forward to getting on the plane and going to sleep, but I will be asleep as soon as I sit down on the plane. And tomorrow it starts again. I've got a wonderful life. I'm seeing an enormous parts of this country that in all of my 77 years before, I never got a chance to see, meeting an awful lot of people. And, you know, I've almost never met anybody that didn't have a story to tell and that I wasn't happy to meet. And I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I would recommend to all of you, if you get a chance, run for president. Although not this time around. Next time. Anyways, this is going to be a very important election. We're opening an office right here in Akron. We've got a bunch of people who we think can represent the administration, or would-be administration, people who can find out what you want and see if we can't do something. Because in the end, the main thing I'm doing going around is asking you, the woman who runs my life and the foundation says, ask a question, make a friend. But if you ask a question, you also learn something. And what I've learned is that this country, well, no matter how great it is, still has not everybody's included. We have to find a ways to do that. When I got into office, the first thing in City Hall back in January 1st, 2002, in New York, I found out that there were an awful lot of people who were uninsured. And so we worked on that, and we reduced the uninsured population by 40%. We improved prenatal and maternity care. I worked very hard on both of those. There are just too many kids that if the mother had had better medical care or a little more instruction, they wouldn't have the problems today that they do have. But the thing, one number that I'm most proud of, we increased life expectancy in New York City by 3 whole years. So, you know, I assume it's still going on, but if you love somebody deeply, send them to New York. They will live 3 years longer. Not everyone, but on average, they really will. When I started in City Hall, I found also, and surprise, surprise, that our school system was failing our kids. What we did is we raised teachers' salaries by 43% over 12 years, biggest raise anybody. And for those of you that say, well, you know, it's a lot of money, yes, but we got something for it because the graduation rate went up by the same percentage. So you really do something. Climate change is another one of those things that I work on all the time. I'm a bug about it. I think there's really a danger of this whole world changing. You only have to look and see Australia burning and California burning and Texas having 4 feet of rain in one place in a few hours and all along the coast, the storms that just are destroying property and really jeopardizing our way of life. We closed 299 out of 530 coal-fired power plants in this country so far. We've reduced greenhouse gases by something like 14%. And we've got to get other countries to do it as well, but at least we're a role model, we're doing it. And whatever we reduce, we're helping us as well. Maybe it's not enough, you can't do it by yourself, but we're going in the right direction. I was elected right after 9/11, 7 weeks later, I think it was, after 9/11. And at that time in New York City, everybody thought that people were going to leave the city and there was no hope for our economy and it was the end of the world. And it was a terrible tragedy with 3,000 people dying, many of whom, particularly firefighters and police officers, I went and gave eulogies for. And I just can't tell you. You don't get hardened to this after. You still look down at the parents sitting there and their son or daughter next to them in a coffin. and you just, it tears your heart out, and you say, we've just got to make sure something like that doesn't happen again. But people did come together. We had great help from other New Yorkers, from people across this country, and even from people around the world. They came, and we pulled everybody together. And in the next 12 years, we created something like 500,000 new jobs and 175,000 new units of affordable housing. We reduced street homelessness, which is a real problem in the bigger cities, something like 30%. And the city came out safer and stronger than ever. And I think people who, if any of you have relatives there, I'll assume they would say that our administration did a good job with everybody else. It wasn't me. It was the people that I pulled together. And that's one of the problems we have with this administration in Washington, is it's not about pulling people together and delegating and letting the new ideas come up and creating. And what I'm all about, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I think I can outwork anybody else, but 24/7, you're not going to do more than that, so I'll at least try. But what I do very well is pulling people and giving them the authority to come up with new ideas and go ahead and get things done. And that's what I'm about, doing things. I know that New York is not the only city in the country. It's not America. But a lot of the things that we worked on are transferable, at least the ideas. It's just scale and how you deliver the service. But it's having people that really care and being inclusive and honest and innovative. And, I was very proud of what we did, but I think you can make this whole country be more. It's not fair to say we're not proud of our country, but we could be more proud of our country. We don't do everything well, and we never will, but we can certainly do a lot of things better and include more people. So. My pitch, I guess, is that if you want health insurance for everyone, if you want to combat inequality with fairer taxes and better jobs, if you want to share my belief in opportunity for all, if you support commitment to quality education in this country for everybody, and that's the solution to so many of our problems. If you want to clean out the White House, clean out the Oval Office, if you want to get things done, join Team Bloomberg. Welcome to Bloomberg 2020. God bless. Thank you for having me.